Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Sing it, Marvin. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Seth and I are going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. We've also got a great article on why our brains prefer live music to pre-recorded music.
That sounds cool.
I'm digging that. Well, we kick off the 9 o'clock hour here with our good friend of the station, Bria Hoyt, is joining us right now. Bria is coming in on the phone lines here. Talk a little bit about working the polls yesterday as a poll worker. Bria, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I don't want to brag, but you know, every once in a while, as a scheduler, I land a pretty good guest. I got a pretty good one here. Bria, we appreciate you joining us so much. Starting off, I got to ask, how are you doing? How are you holding up?
I'm doing all right. Yesterday was a long day. Thankfully, I got to work the morning shift, the AM shift. So just recovering a little bit still, with a lot to do, but good work.
Really good to hear that. And Bria, I apologize, but every single one of our listeners have heard multiple times how excited I am about you being pregnant. So that's out of the bag. But I mentioned that just for context, not only to give you credit and thank you for working the polls and doing that and volunteering like you did, but also the fact that anybody out there that has any excuses. The kid's pregnant, like, what, 7 months? And out there doing that. That's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you. I'm not one to pat my own back often, but there's a pat in there for that.
right on.
Nice.
Bria, I want to ask how it went. How were things yesterday? You've mentioned this to us on the air before when we've talked about this. You've done this, been doing this for a long time, and you've kind of gotten to know some of the other poll workers there, as a lot of the time there's the same people showing up for this to volunteer. How did it go with everybody there? How did it go for everybody there and for just our you know, constituents, our people out there voting?
That's a great question. Yeah, I've been, thankfully, I've been a poll worker since the 2020 election. So, wow, yeah, it has been a long time. Mm-hmm. But everything went very smoothly yesterday, actually. As far as my shift goes, I was at the registration table the whole time and helping process absentee ballots. And everything went really smooth. It may be one of the smoothest elections that I worked. Wow. I don't know about the PM shift, because that's usually, there's a lot of pettiness going on with counting and everything, but I was just thankful that everything went smoothly.
Yeah, very, very happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Really, whether it's locally or across the country, we heard really good things about the not only the smoothness, people getting in and out, but people getting, you know, treating each other with respect. I think we heard a lot of that in this election cycle, which is very, very, very comforting, very good to hear.
Yes, it is.
And especially because we need poll workers. We need people volunteering, doing these jobs. I've talked to many of our poll workers locally here in Rapids, ones I see every election cycle, and they'll be the first to tell you that they love what they do, and there's a reason you see a lot of the same faces every year, but those same faces are getting older and older, and we need more and more younger people to be involved in this. Bree, you've mentioned this to... go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Absolutely.
You've mentioned to us before with this. You're probably the youngest person there and have been for the last couple of election cycles.
Yep. By a little bit, yeah. No shade to the other workers at all.
No,
not at all.
I just bring it up because, part of what I wanted to do with this segment is certainly kind of get an insight and a little look behind to see what it's like to be a poll worker, but also to encourage people to be poll workers and get more people involved in this. When it comes to going back to 2020, Bree, how did you get involved in this? How did you get started doing this?
Oh, thank you for asking. I got involved because I saw a social media post that said that because of COVID, it wasn't safe for a lot of the people who are traditionally poll workers to be out there, which is a traditionally older demographic, and that they really need younger people to step up. And I don't know if it's just because of my Parks and Rec obsession with Leslie Nope, but I felt a calling in me, and I thought, I can do this, and I want to. I want to be a part of my community and feel a part of it. And ever since then, every time I work an election, and I've lost count now, I do feel like a deep connection with the community, and it feels like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And I believe in democracy, and it's beautiful to be a part of it. And I would just encourage people to, if they feel an imposter syndrome, like, I'm not qualified to do that, you are. Just you go for it.
Yeah.
County clerk.
It's a great note, Bree. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of us feel a similar thing. I've been voting since I was 18, and I've voted in every election that I can vote in, not just presidential, but every single election. And yesterday was the first time I'm into politics because of my mom and her side of the family and how into politics they are. And yesterday was the first time I got to go with my mom and dad to go vote. And we all went together and everything. And I've never really seen my mom at the polls. I've never seen her walking into that. And you would have thought we walked into an art museum, and she was just in awe of everything. It's never none of us had ever seen it that busy over where we are polling place. And it wasn't as if my mother was seeing the Mona Lisa for the first time, but it was hitting her like she had never voted before. Like, it was her first time there. She was so blown away by the democracy in work, democracy in action.
Yep.
We talk a lot about, there's a lot of big words we use a lot, and democracy and freedom and these things, but when you actually get to see them in action, I don't know how you can't feel that. I don't know how you can't want to be a part of something like that. And when it comes to being a part of that, and one of the great ways is being a poll worker and using your time. It's one of the greatest things you can do as far as volunteering goes. And Bria, for you, learning to be a poll worker, how did that go? Did you take a class? Did you have to fill out a bunch of surveys? Did you just have to wear the right clothes? What would you have to do for that?
Oh, first, thank you for sharing that story. That was very wholesome and sweet. Thank you. I got to reach back to 4 years ago. I believe that I got in touch with the county clerk, and then I'm fairly sure there is some paperwork involved, but that's mostly like background check information, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Besides that, I think that every couple of years, if you were on the list, they have a class, so to speak. It's more so just informational, like, this is the process of the election, this is how the machines work, so everyone's on the same page. And what's kind of interesting about being a poll worker, you're on your toes, you don't really know which job you're going to occupy until you get there, and your chief inspector, kind of the person in charge of your polling location, directs you to what you're going to do. So it's exciting in that way. You don't really know where you're going to end up, but everyone is always so nice, and you get trained, and you're ready to go. You're not going to just be set off into the wild and left to fend for yourself. Everybody's always really nice.
And really, thank you for that, Bree. Appreciate it, that rundown. When it comes to this, too, one thing to younger people out there, especially those that are getting ready to get into college or in college right now, this is a wonderful thing to have on your resume. This is a really nice thing to have on that resume. Every college, every university, and especially a lot of jobs nowadays are looking, hey, did they put any volunteer hours?
Absolutely.
What have they done volunteering-wise? Boy, will this look good on there. And not to mention all the things that we have talked about as far as the way that this makes the soul feel. And how it feels to be a part of your democracy, a part of keeping the wheels of freedom moving. It's something that really you have to feel to experience. You really can't put it to words. But you can find out more about being a poll worker and the training and learning more about it and even becoming one at myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. Be sure to bookmark that and to take all the training, do what you need to do so you are all ready to go and you can be a poll worker our next election, which is, let me see here, tomorrow. No, it's not tomorrow. It's right. We do have another one coming up very shortly from now. So. Bria, before we let you go, I did want to promote, talk about What the Muppet. I cannot help it. This is the podcast that Bria and I do. There's a new episode every Monday for you. And I wanted to take the chance to not only promote the podcast, sure, and encourage everybody, hey, check it out wherever you get your podcast. It's a fun, relaxing, especially today. Like, you need a palate cleanser. Today's it's a perfect palate cleanser for today. But I did want to also take the chance to, with Bria, thank the audience, because I know so many of our listeners out there have become fans of the pod. We really appreciate that.
Oh, yes, thank you so much. It's such a joy to do that show, and it's a passion to do anything with that involves the Muppets, so thank you, everybody.
Whatever you like about that show, you have her to thank. I just show up on X and I do. I deliver the lines.
Hit your cues and you're good to go. Yeah,
you've done amazing work on that podcast, Bria. I really do appreciate that. And I've been a terrible father. I've been pressing her with questions. I made her get up this early in the morning and everything to do all this. I can't thank you enough for putting up with our questions. It really, in seriousness, for the time and most importantly for the work that you did yesterday. Thank you so much for volunteering and doing that kind of work like you do, Bria.
Absolutely. Thank you to you and Seth for having me on, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Absolutely.
Talk to you real soon. You take care.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too, Bria. You too. I could talk to her for like hours more.
Exactly.
I have to go to break, otherwise I will keep talking.
He'll just
to her.
Keep going.
I did want to remind everybody that Bria also is a very successful author. You can go to type into your search bar B.A. McRae, and her work will pop up. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, there's a couple of different places that not only can you purchase her work, which I encourage you to do, but certainly there's some free stuff on there too if you want to get an idea of her writing style and some of that. I guarantee you start, you won't be able to stop.
Right.
And the website, again, if you are interested in poll working, that is myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. We'll come back, talk a little entertainment, and some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Or should I do this like Bruce?
Welcome to the morning show. We got entertainment coming up, and more.
I'm not trying to insult Bruce Springsteen.
No, it's pretty good though. Yeah.
You gotta get really up to the mic. You really like that close talker that it's a little bit more like a guy that's had too many and he doesn't realize he's close talking to you.
Yeah, let me tell you, man. I'll tell you. Did you see the score from that game?
That's more of what it is. It's one of the best ever.
You
don't get the nickname the boss for being average.
No, not at all.
You don't get that for nothing. and one of the more interesting stories that are coming out of the entertainment world right now is what to do with the Oscars. They've been trying to figure this out since Billy Crystal, really.
Seriously. Sadly, it's true. Yeah.
An interesting thing that the last time this came around in the Oscar talk and who's going to host the Oscars and that big conversation came up, I did a little research, and I never really got to get into this one on the air because it just didn't have time. But I went back and looked at a lot of the hosts over the decades, over the years. And certainly, if you of a certain age, you remember Bob Hope. And I've said this many times, and I've gone back and looked, and I can back it up. I have the data. Bob Hope was the greatest MC of all time, bar none. There's nobody even second place. He's got first, second, and third place. But Billy Crystal's in the top five,
man,
and one of the greats. And he continued that legacy very well for a long time. And there's even some talk right now that Billy Crystal may come back and host the Oscars this year.
Wow!
So there is a rumor out there.
Just a rumor.
Nothing that has been,
grain of salt. Big grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how, I don't want to say desperate, but that's pretty much, if whatever is the next stage, the stage right before desperation, that's where they are with this.
Yeah.
And they wanted to build on the momentum of a couple of years ago, and then last year's happened, and they did not see that in the ratings.
Mm.
So they're panicking again. They're back to panic mode. And so they're trying to figure out, hey, who will host the Oscars this season? No matter who takes the gig, it always is, it's almost a, you can't win for losing kind of thing. If you do a good job, everybody expected you to do a good job.
Right.
And maybe they'll talk about you on the morning shows the next day, or maybe they won't. But boy, if you do a bad job,
you'll be everywhere.
Oh, they're coming after you.
Yep.
So some reliable sources, and that is a very in parentheses thing, are saying that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are in the mix to host the Oscars together.
Okay.
Deadpool and Wolverine might be hosting the Oscars.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that might be good. There's others that are being rumored, like Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They're all being rumored.
Okay.
They're throwing these names out there for two. One, to see, hey, what do people think of The Rock host?
Yep.
You know, see what this is like. And also, in hopes that these individuals will do it. Sometimes this happens where, and I can't say verbatim this is happening here, but right. I'd put a lot into it, that every once in a while they will throw something out there without checking with a publicist or a contact. Hey, does Dwayne have any interest in this?
Mm.
But if we put public pressure on him and we just throw it out there, maybe he will do it.
Exactly.
One of those situations where, you know, beg for forgiveness after.
Yep, yep.
Kind of thing. I have no doubt that has happened with at least one, if not all, of these individuals. Mm-hmm. They're again, that stage right before desperation. I don't know. I feel like this is one of those things where I actually will, like, I support them on their stress with this, on their panic on this. Because so much is made with a host. You can't guarantee that people are going to watch or people are going to enjoy it or whatever. But if you have a good host, at least you know that is set.
Yes.
And many people can't remember how many Billy Crystal hosted or Bob Hope hosted or anything like that. But how many of the bits do you remember? You remember Jack Palance coming out there
with the one-handed push-up. Yep.
That was Billy's idea. That was Billy Crystal's idea. Like, you need a good host, and that you can build off of that. The awards, who wins these things or not, that really almost doesn't matter. People are watching. Mm-hmm. And say you're watching just for this one category to see this one individual win or lose.
Right.
Well, once that an award has been announced, you've already won them over. You've already got them their viewership.
Yep.
So whether they go away and watch something else or not, you've already won. You've won the ratings war.
Mm-hmm.
So that part almost doesn't even matter in some ways. It's so important to have a good host.
It is.
That is more important than almost any other part of an award show.
I know several years ago they tried to do it without a host, and that didn't go over well either. I mean, so they have literally, I think they've tried everything. I mean, seriously.
I just got an email from them. They're asking if you and Melissa and I are interested.
Okay, wow. I mean, they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel now. I mean,
we'll talk about it off air. We'll figure that out off air. But I will try to talk you guys into it. It may be the closest I ever get to an Oscar. Maybe.
There you go.
Speaking of Oscars, Tom Hanks seems like he'd be a great dad, right? I mean, everybody thinks Tom Hanks would be a pretty good dad, but he wasn't. That's according to him.
Oh, wow.
In a new interview, he says, quote, "I made every mistake. You know, you scar the kids somehow in the same exact way. And as they get older, you come back around and say, hey, can I talk about what knothead I was with all those years?" And they say, "Yeah, sure, Dad. Yeah, I've been kind of waiting for this. Why don't you unload?"
Wow.
He said, quote, "But I would say at the same time, does it come up to be 50-50? Maybe the attitude and the life that we led, the laughs, that stuff's worth its weight in gem-encrusted gold."
Wow.
For one, this is one of the reasons why we back, why we like Tom Hanks, why we see his movies, those kind of things. He is not only the real deal, but in a time and age where we've got people out there who can't admit they're ever wrong. God help them if they admit they're wrong about something.
Yeah, because do something. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean.
Not only owning something like this and being forthright with it, but also like showing his humanity with it and only building. Like, it's not like a lot of people like, well, I think less of Tom Hanks now because he wasn't a good father.
No.
None of us are judging him as a father.
No,
none of us know whether or not he's being too hard on himself or he's not being hard enough on himself or any of those things. Only his kids know that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know he's giving you an answer that not every typical person does.
Right.
And I don't mean just celebrities. I mean, you ask your average person, hey, are you a good parent?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be able to tell real quickly the good parents or not, because the good parents are going to tell you they're not good parents.
Right.
Very rarely does that happen. And I'm not saying that if they say they're a good parent, that doesn't mean they aren't. But
right.
I almost guarantee you that every person that says they're a bad parent is probably a good one. Think about it. And I ain't wrong on this one.
Right. Because he's
on this one.
Right. Because he's basically doing the old saying, I think it's Aristotle, the unexamined, or Plato, one of those two, the unexamined life is not worth living. And he is showing you right now, he is examining his life. And he says, you know what? I think I might not have done a good job in certain areas of that, which is, I mean, we don't have to share with everybody when we do those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty brave of him to do that, to come out and say, you know, hey, you know what? I think I made some mistakes. Then this is why. So
I admire that.
Me too. Do. Absolutely.
And I did want to mention this one as well, because it's kind of interesting. So, and not just with this, we're going to talk a little bit about the Goonies house, the famous house from the Goonies. And I want to talk just broadly about locations of famous buildings and houses and some of those things, because the Goonies house is in Astrona, Oregon, a popular tourist attraction, as you'd imagine.
Right.
But one of its neighbors would like that to stop.
Uh-oh.
A guy named Betham Zachariah. What a name.
Nice name. Wow.
He bought the house 2 years ago for $1.65 million. He loves the movie and he welcomes fellow fans. But a neighbor two houses down put a sign up saying, quote, Goonies not welcome.
Oh no.
I mean, didn't he see the movie? That's only going to encourage the Goonies.
Yeah, seriously.
That prompted Zachariah to put up his own sign saying, hey, you guys, Goonies welcome. And a friend of his bought the house in between them and put up a sign saying, ignore Karen. Zachariah said, quote, why would you want to live in this neighborhood knowing for the last 38 years one of the greatest iconic movies of all time was filmed in the house and you chose to live two houses down? Why not move out?
Right. That's a bit much about that movie. But still, yeah, I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying.
It's an iconic movie, but slow down.
But so, yeah, one of the greatest.
I don't know about all that.
It's fun. I'll give it that.
You know, I would agree with him if I knew the owner of the house that doesn't like this, their story. Mm-hmm. You know, why they don't move? Well, maybe it's a family home.
Yeah, maybe there could be a lot of reasons why, right? We don't know. Yeah, that's
maybe,
the thing.
Maybe
yeah.
they don't have the money to move. And it's California, for God's sake. Do you know?
I don't know how anyone can afford anything in California.
Yeah, I'm not sure how people live there.
No, seriously.
Period. Like, I understand people visiting. I don't understand how anybody lives there. I love California. I'll say as a real, like, just own that and everything. I'm a big fan. But if you know anything about California, you know it's expensive to live out there.
Very.
With that being said, I don't know that, you know, this guy, who really has any right or wrong in this situation.
Right.
I would like to see a little more of a neighborly thing going on here where, you know, hey, reaching out and trying to make this right.
That would make sense. And that would very much make sense. Maybe they've buried the hatchet, as it were.
Seth, I think we've done a very good job of not spending every single show promoting hate mail. I have waited till we got a little bit closer.
We're getting closer now.
We're
very
close right now. Man, are we close. Join us November 15th and 16th for a director's showcase, Hate Mail, directed by the wonderful Seth Habegger. We'll be in the Studio Theater at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Mm-hmm. You can get your tickets at wrctheater.org.
Yep, right now.
Seth and I and Beth, who are doing the show together.
The three of us.
It's a very stripped down show. It's not your typical theater. It's what I have done, what I consider guerrilla theater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, for those of you who were in the 70s, I think in the 80s, there was a very popular play called Love Letters. And it's basically two people on stage reading letters through their lives that they write to each other. Well, the basic premise of this show is the opposite of that, which is why it's called Hate Mail. and I have to say that what drew me to it is it's kind of bonkers. It's pretty bananas and it's very, very funny. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this. And thankfully, both James and Beth agreed to do this with me. And I'm very excited about putting this on for you. But like James said, it's basically two people writing back and forth to each other. And it takes, you know, like actual letters, but also little notes. And they end up in a chat room. So it's a lot of fun. And I got to say, it's very funny. I do want to let everyone know there's some adult language in there, too, and some situations. So just keep that in mind.
Not for under 18 year olds like that. Keep that in mind.
Yep.
And when I say guerrilla theater, this is something where your traditional play, they have got about 2 months to rehearse. Mm-hmm. They go over their lines and have them memorized before you ever see them on stage and a lot of that. With a show like this, it is a little more not so much the over preparedness and much more about the real time emotions and feelings as we're reading these things and getting that reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's actually. In, encouraged to not necessarily have the lines memorized, quote unquote memorized,
right,
as much as, you know, understanding how to say certain words, right, or, you know, that kind of thing.
As, you know what's coming, in other words, yeah, as you go along here. So,
it's,
yeah,
it's a very, like, interesting and different process and a much different way to take in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lewis Canton Studio is such an intimate setting.
Yes.
It's an opportunity for you to, it reminds me very much of like high school basketball, where you feel like you're right on
right
the court,
with yeah,
everybody. It's such a cool experience, everybody, and I am so proud to be a part of this. Beth is doing amazing. Seth is a fantastic director. The three of us are going to give you a darn good show. Get mm-hmm. your tickets right now for Hate Mail, coming up November 15th and 16th at the Director's Showcase that will be featured in the Studio Theater at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Yep.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org.
Indeed.
We'll be back to talk more about Hate Mail. No, I'm joking.
Another one, Hate Mail.
We'll be talking about this one, though. But we'll be encouraging to get those tickets, and we'll be back with more show right here at The Morning Show on WFHR. Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio, Seth and James here. Easily the weirdest name song.
Yep.
Just, I would love to know. Hey, Sting, could you guys just not come up with a name for the song?
Right. It was like the guide vocal that he just didn't change, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's exactly.
Actually, I'll just stick with this. Yeah, okay.
I believe now that is exactly. Or if you're typing, you know, they didn't have email back then.
Yep.
When you're typing out an email, but you don't put a title in there, so it just takes the first line and put it out there. Like, it feels like that.
Do 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 da da da. Okay.
And speaking of music,
all right,
you may like the live version of that song better than the recorded one. Your brain prefers live music to something pre-recorded. You may not know this, but it's the truth. And that's not just an opinion, it's science.
Ooh, cool.
A neurosurgeon who goes by the name Dr. Nas on Instagram posted a video explaining why. He said, quote, "Live music will activate entire brain networks involving experiencing pleasure, processing emotions, and re-triggering memories of the past."
Mm.
"The bigger the brain experience, especially in the emotional parts of your brain, the more deeply you will be struck or feeling immersed in the music."
Okay.
"But why is live music so much more of a treat? Well, unpredictably, quote, the rhythm, intensity, and speed of notes will be slightly different from what you hear on, like, you know, a CD or
right.
Spotify
yeah.
or something like that.
They're not going to be exactly the same.
And your brain loves this because not knowing what is coming next is like a little treat."
Oh, wow.
So, say you are, you know, "Do you feel like we do?" You know, you've heard that song probably 9,000 times by
right.
now.
Yep.
But for some reason, it's still, you may flip the channel, you may not mm-hmm. like the song, but parts of your brain are feeling certain feelings.
Right.
And it can also be kind of confusing in some ways.
Yes.
But it's fascinating.
That's really
how this works.
And that's, I mean, I that's got to be why people behave the way they do at concerts. Because, yeah, they want to hear, you know, the songs that maybe the band, maybe their big hits or whatever they're playing. But it's not going to sound the way, you know, that you heard it on the radio or anything like that. But it doesn't matter. Mm. People are going to, like, you know, rock and roll. You know, they're just going to be acting a little something. They would never normally do that. I mean, you're not going to the grocery store and waiting in line and say, "Wah, groceries."
Yeah,
you know, you're not doing that.
Dude,
that would be weird, you know.
We do need more of that, though. I do love that. "I got the apple! Woo!" I like that. Maybe a little more, you know, celebrating in life.
So, but yeah, that makes sense.
So we're this is one of the things that I think is kind of cool and underreported. As far as we're learning more and more about the brain.
Yeah.
Some years back, we did a segment on why we are so nostalgic about music. And we found that science has figured out that you will always get that feeling from the first music you chose.
Mm-hmm.
When you were young, like all of us, we grew up on the music that was played for us by our parents, our guardians, et cetera, et cetera.
Whatever on the radio, yeah.
If you were like me and you had older friends, they played music for you and you got turned on by some of that too mm-hmm. and everything. But for the most part, you were given music. You didn't choose.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, one day, you get to decide. You get to choose what album, what CD, what song you want to download. And those songs, the rest of your life will hit that part of your brain.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you go 2 minutes or you go 20 years without hearing it. It'll make you feel like you were 10, 13 again, first buying that Kung Fu fighting record or something like that, or Electric Avenue.
Yeah, right.
You know? It takes you back. Mm-hmm. So this makes a lot of sense to me with that. It's hitting on similar, you know, frequencies, if you will.
Right. With that. In your brain, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That totally makes sense.
It's pretty wild, too, to think of. Like, I guarantee that there are plenty of people out there that don't necessarily care about how the sausage is made. They just love that music still does this to them.
And then, you know, you get that, and then, you know, they're talking about there, but there's a little difference in there, and you get another hit. It's like, yeah, I know this song inside and out, but ooh, look at what they did there. You know, that's part of it too.
Well, and as plenty of people out there are looking for palate cleansers or things to keep their mood up or get their mood going, sometimes we think of things like music. Oh, wait, no, music won't do it. Oh, it might. It might want to give it a chance.
Man, you never know.
I mean, we're not talking opinion. We're talking science.
Science. Music science.
Science. This isn't exactly scientific, Seth, but before we go to the end of the get to the end of the segment here, I did want to touch on this one. Would you say you're a people pleaser?
Mm.
If so, you are in good company. 48% of Americans admit that they're a people pleaser. 48%.
That's cool. Yeah.
47 say they're not, so pretty close there.
Pretty 50-50 there.
52% of women are people pleasers compared to 44% of men, and young people were more likely to say yes than others.
Okay.
And if you're not sure if you're a people pleaser or not, see how many of these categories you fall into.
Okay.
Do you often go to great lengths to avoid conflict? 71% of Americans say that they do.
Really? Wow, that's high. That's higher than I expected, actually. Wow.
Now, what if you're just like you've had a very stressful and very conflicted life and you just want to spend the last, like, however long you got, just none. Like,
what's the point?
I don't know if I'm a people pleaser, but I could tell you for darn sure it takes a lot for me to get bent out of shape nowadays. Like, it really does.
Is it worth it? I mean, that's the question, right? Is it worth getting worked up about? And usually the answer is no.
Yeah. Do you put other people's needs ahead of your own? 69% said that one.
Wow. High one. Wow.
Do you feel like you can't say no when someone asks for a favor? 52% are guilty of that one.
Okay. All right.
And do you feel responsible for other people's feelings? 48% say that they do.
Mm-hmm.
These are all really like even numbers, pretty much. Outside of that top one there, we're talking almost 50-50 with a lot of these.
Right.
Do you struggle to establish boundaries? 36% of people say that they do with that.
Struggle to establish boundaries.
And do you agree with people even when you don't really agree?
Oh.
25% said that they do.
So 25%. Okay, so that's quite a bit lower.
Yeah.
And so this is like not just all like good things. These can be not some of them. I mean, you don't really want to agree with someone and you don't actually agree with them. That can lead to some really not good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
We got a phone call coming in. Good morning. You're on the show.
I got a bone to pick with you, Seth.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Good morning. This is Melissa Kay. I am out here on the road, and I tuned in to you guys because, you know what? I just missed the sound of your voices.
Wow.
I'm usually with you today.
I almost believe you.
And then I heard Seth saying that people-pleasing was good. No, Seth, it's not.
I did. Wait a minute. I didn't make a blanket statement.
So
you probably didn't, but
you just heard that part.
And I'm like, I gotta call in because that's wrong, and I need to tell him that's wrong.
And for you, Melissa, what is it about it that's wrong?
Because it is exhausting. I have been a people pleaser my entire life, and it's taken me a long time to learn how to set those boundaries and to be able to say no.
Right.
And to learn that no is a complete sentence. I don't have to qualify why I'm telling you no. I just, you need to accept that I can say no, and that's okay.
All right.
I'm in the same boat. And my family has joked for many years that I am the referee. that I'm always the one taking the middle spot, that I'm never taking a side, all those things. And it is exhausting. CC what I was saying earlier about being exhausted and not, you know, yeah, maybe this isn't a hill I want to die on. You know what? You go ahead. You win this fight.
Go ahead and move on. Just let it go.
That's not much not people-pleasing as it is I'm exhausted. You know, I do think that there are...
Yeah, but it takes us until we're in our later years to figure that out, James.
Yes, 100%.
Like, later, like middle years. I don't mean later. Like, I mean later than our 20s.
Right, yeah.
Well, I got to say, Melissa, I have to say personally that I'm very happy that I've been able to help you on this journey because you have no problem saying no to me. So I feel like I've had some hand in helping you.
In fact, I take pleasure in that.
Would you guys say that there are part of, you know, qualities of this that are good to inhabit? Maybe just like anything else in life, too much of anything is a bad thing.
Don't go overboard. In other words, mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there's definitely a certain amount of, like, wanting to be helpful and wanting to be the party that helps to settle things.
Right.
Wanting to, you know, be a positive influence. Mm-hmm. Those are all good things. But you definitely can take it too far with not being able to set those boundaries and wringing yourself out to be everything for everybody else and having nothing left for yourself.
Right.
And you're going to not pour from an empty vessel.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're going to fail anyway, cuz you can't please everybody all the time. You cannot do it. So
cuz I am not pizza.
No, we are not tacos.
We're not tacos. We're back to tacos.
We're only human, you know? I mean, really.
Only human.
Melissa, you take it easy today. And excellent work last night. We really appreciate all the work that you guys put in last night. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll be traveling back at some point today. So and everything goes on.
And then everything keeps going.
There's more work to do.
Always.
And a quick reminder to the audience, Community Stories is going to be premiering next week, everybody.
Next Tuesday.
Ah! Right. No pressure.
It's going to be amazing.
It'll be great.
Sorry, was that my outside voice?
Yeah. You didn't say that in your head. No. Mm-hmm. You kind of shared it with everyone.
I said it in my head, too.
It echoed. It echoed. You can hear it echo. We appreciate you, Mel. Have a great day.
Yep, you too, guys.
Safe travels out there. We'll be back with more show here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, wrapping up the show, taking you to the top of the hour.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
We're going to go ahead and get into our schedule in a little bit. We got some other news and notes to touch on as well. But I want to wrap up with some good stories of the day.
That's good. Let's do that.
And a woman near Detroit put a sign up on Halloween to let kids know she wasn't handing out candy because her special needs son had to go to the ER. The sign said, "My son is in the hospital. Sorry, no candy." She just wanted them to know that she wasn't home. But some apparently thought it meant her son wasn't getting candy. So they pitched in to help him out.
Oh, my gosh.
And they weren't necessarily wrong. The kid wasn't able to go trick-or-treating. She started getting doorbell cam alerts and saw kids dumping buckets of their own candy on her doorstep. Kids doing this. Kids willingly giving up candy.
On Halloween, I mean, that's crazy.
It's great. I thought that was an Onion headline for a second. That's crazy. She said the kids' parents deserve a lot of praise. Quote, "To do that without your parents there is remarkable."
It is.
That's pretty cool.
That's a really great story. I love it.
A miniature horse named Butter. I just want to let that sit there for a second. I mean, picture that horse, everybody. You're picturing it.
Yep. Butter.
Fell down a well in Southern California. But she is okay. Firefighters worked until 10 p.m. last Friday to lift her out. Wow. They say it's amazing she wasn't seriously injured.
Wow.
Does anybody ever watch the videos or read the reports on these things and how, especially firefighters, but EMTs and so many other people, the creativity that they have to use in these weird
situations, and they get all kinds of, they get all the weird situations. Yeah.
It's so amazing to see the things that they are able to pull off and what they're able to accomplish.
Very cool.
It really is amazing. A big shout out to all of our EMT workers and so many of the great people out there.
You know it, man.
And also we have a guy in Tulsa who is colorblind. He recently got a special glasses to help him see colors for the first time.
Really?
Now footage is going viral of him watching his favorite movie, The Wizard of Oz. And it is everything you could ask for when everything comes to color.
Oh, my
gosh. He freaks out and saw the yellow brick road for the very first time.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's amazing. It's also, it feels like, I don't want to say, where has this technology been? But when you think about where he's doing this in a movie theater, when we've all watched, or most of us have watched a movie in 3D with the glasses and everything, it almost feels like, that technology must have been right around the corner. We're just working on that.
So he was completely colorblind. Which means he saw zero colors, and now I can't imagine suddenly seeing all the colors. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I wonder too if that is. I mean, it's got to be a bit overstimulating. You would think. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's no negative to this, or anything, but it does got to be quite. Whoa.
Yep.
A couple of police officers in Massachusetts borrowed two boats to save a dog that jumped in a cold lake on Saturday and almost drowned.
Oh no!
They used a drone to track it until they couldn't get there to pick it up. Mm-hmm. The dog's owner said it swam too far out and got stranded after chasing some geese into the water. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. We have all been chasing geese.
And you end up in the middle of a lake with a cramp, right?
No judgment here. A wild cockatoo flew into a grocery store in Sydney, Australia.
Whoa!
And was stuck inside for almost a month. Couldn't find its way out and wouldn't let anyone catch him.
Oh, no.
And a manager kept him alive by leaving water and bread out each night. They eventually caught him by bringing in a second cockatoo named Doris, and she calmed him down enough to be caught. That's funny how they figured
bring
that out.
Bring the lady in, I guess. Wow. Yep. Yeah, I'll keep him sitting still, I guess.
I mentioned before, my parents' old dog, Zeppelin, the only way to catch him was to pet another dog and he'd get jealous. He'd come running up to you and everything. Every single time. That was the only way to catch him.
That's funny.
A reporter in Detroit interviewed a 94-year-old named Donna Maddox after she got to ride around the Michigan International Speedway in a souped-up Ferrari.
Woo!
She rode shotgun and hit up to a speed of 155 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
That's incredible. Wow. She says she's always loved fast cars, so it was a huge thrill.
Mm-hmm.
So she also let slip that she once hit 115 in her own car.
Oh, whoa. Hey, ho.
It's not good.
Shouldn't admit that.
Nope. I don't. But it's good on her for doing that at 94.
That's true. Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That's amazing.
I know people my age or your age that wouldn't even do that.
No.
I mean, that's
including
cool.
Me. No.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, I kind of would like it. I kind of like to try it at least once.
See
what it would like and everything. We've got some local good stories going on around here, and Seth, it is a Wednesday. Our audience knows what that means.
That means bingo.
Bingo.
At the Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids, number 693. Their doors open at 5 o'clock. Bingo starts at 6:30. Go have some fun. Support the Elks and all the great things they do. They've got some other great events coming up, too, in the next couple of months as well. So while you're there, check out what they've got going on. And we'll be talking about it when we get closer to those events. Coming up tomorrow, we have the WRASC Award Celebration for 2024. It's happening at Bullseye Golf Club. Social hours from 6 to 7. The presentation is at 7. It's $35 to attend. You can call 422-4650, 422-4650 for more information and get some tickets. It's going to be a very cool event. We've got Playmakers on Monday. You actually spoke with Kenny and about the whole event, so you can check that out. Go to civicmedia.us and you can listen to that and find out what's going on. Big shout out, of course, to Paul Peckman from the River Kings. He will be getting the MVP award, and that's very cool.
Very deserving and very cool. And we'll be covering that event for you, everybody.
Yes.
And looking forward to talking about it on Friday's Playmaker.
Yes, indeed.
We also will be talking about something else going on tomorrow in our area. The Arts Council of Southwood County is proud to present the most sought-after big band in the world today for both concert and dance engagements.
Woo.
Yes, In the Mood, the Glenn Miller Orchestra. They are going to be coming to town tomorrow, everybody. They'll be at the Performing Arts Center at 7:30. Be sure to get your tickets at SavoryTheArts.com and come and see this amazing show. It is an amazing show. If you even know a little bit of the Glenn Miller music, you will enjoy this.
This band has been touring since 1956 continuously, and they have a original connection to Glenn himself. And it's been continuing since then. It's some of the greatest players in the U.S. It's really cool.
We got to talk to one of the band members on Midday Magazine. Thanks to Sally and Eric for that. I encourage you to go check that interview out and get a preview of this amazing show that is coming to our neck of the woods, everybody. Get your tickets at SavoryTheArts.com, SavoryTheArts.com, and I don't know, maybe we will give away a pair tomorrow.
Ooh, get ready.
Got to be listening to find out.
Yes, you do.
We're going to give away a pair tomorrow. Be listening.
That'd be hilarious. We may give it. No, we're not.
We're definitely doing that. And we are able to do that thanks to Sally Kistner over at the Arts Council. Big tip of the hat to Sally. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Eric over at the Performing Arts Center.
Yep.
They do such great work over there.
They do.
And let's help them continue to do that great work. Support the arts, everybody. Take in these shows. Take in every single one you can.
Great shows, yeah.
This is going to be a really fun one. Mm-hmm. There's a dinner with this. Dinner tickets for Lake Air Supper Club are available before the show.
Yeah, you can even a dinner and a show all together.
You can't beat it.
Yep.
You can't beat that. A big thank you to all the sponsors and everybody promoting this one, including us.
We're a part of it.
So we're really proud to be, too.
Mm-hmm.
Check in that. Get your tickets for that show at SavorTheArts.com. I'll be listening tomorrow for a chance to possibly win some tickets.
Win tickets.
Taking a look at our schedule, be sure to stick around. You got Matt and Air on Air coming up from 10 to noon. Jane and Greg will give you a look at the day's headlines and have some fun while they're doing it. Two of the best in the business. Go ahead and join them from 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, right here. Maggie Dawn show a little later today from 2 to 4. One of my favorite voices in radio. Love listening to Maggie. Great show.
All doing yeoman's work yesterday. Mm-hmm. So if they're like us, a little tired today, you know, that's all right.
Understandable.
Yeah, very understandable.
And stick around for, of course, Midday Magazine from 4 to 5. Today we'll be spending the entire hour with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Sean Becker will be in with us. Plenty to talk about with Sean. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to talking with him. And after that, we got Playmakers for you. Be sure to join us from 5 to 6 today for Playmakers. Mm-hmm. We want your calls. We want your sports feelings. We're going to have plenty to talk about. Michael will be in with us today. We'll talk a little local sports.
Yeah.
Certainly get into some of that. Want to talk about the NFL trade deadline, a little of that as well. We got plenty to talk about.
Some River Kings this weekend.
Not only got the River Kings to talk about, but we also got the BCS standings that came out yesterday.
Oh, yes. Talk for about the tournament, yeah.
We'll be talking about it with you on Playmakers, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, who sponsor that hour, and join us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Big thanks to Phil for joining us today.
It's always fun. Love it.
That was a great time. Thanks for that, Phil.
Yep.
And a big thank you to Bria Hoyt for joining us. We appreciate that. That was a fun time.
Lots of really cool information, and hope it sparks some interest of being a poll worker out there. So keep that in mind for the next one, everybody.
Tomorrow, Seth and I will be hanging out, and we'll be doing that with our good friends from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Yep.
We'll have our Pet of the Week tomorrow.
We'll be much more energetic tomorrow.
Definitely. I have to get more sleep tonight. My body will not.
You're going to have to.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just going to. At some point, my body's just going to shut down.
I hope you're not driving at the time. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Whether you want it or not, we're done. We're done. Like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I thought we were a team. Nope.
You're done.
Great show today, bro.
Yes, indeed.
And you guys be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later, right here at.